Let's pray, church. Father, we open up your word today expectant. Expectant that you're speaking. Expectant that you've been speaking all week to us. And God, we come expectant to hear today. Open up our ears. Open up our eyes. Open up our hearts to hear what you have for us today. Help us to draw closer and closer to you. Give us a fire in our bellies to be more like you. But also, God, the comfort of your Holy Spirit to help us know that we don't have to do it alone. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, church, we are in a series called Resolved. Going off of Daniel chapter 1, we have in Daniel this story of these young men that are taken from Judah as captives, forced to become young leaders, young students of a foreign empire. They grow up in leadership, but they throughout their entire time, there's this theme that we find in Daniel 1 that goes throughout. So it says there in Daniel 1 that Daniel resolved in his heart not to let himself be defiled by eating the king's meat. And throughout this time in Daniel, we see over and over again this theme of not wanting to be defiled, of resolving in their hearts. And we talked about this week one, the fact that if we are going to be a people who remain undefiled, who look different in a world that feels often like everything is pushing against us changing, is pushing against us looking like Jesus, is sending the opposite message of what we find in the Bible. If we're going to be that, it takes a decision. It takes resolve. It takes saying, listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It takes a moment of saying, listen, this is a decision that we're going to make. And it takes making that decision in advance. We talked about the fact that decisions we make in the moment often aren't very good. But in fact, it takes making those decisions in advance. This is who I'm going to be, so I'm not making those decisions when I go out, when I'm faced with the moment of temptation. When I go to school, when I go to work, I'm making that decision in advance who I'm going to be and what I'm going to decide. We also talked last week about the fact that your why matters. We talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fact that your why matters. Why you do things matters. If you don't know your why, you often won't do the what very well. The reality is that's for all areas of life. But especially as followers of Jesus. And the fact is, all these principles that we're pulling out of Daniel, they're basic concepts that go into every area of your life. But even more importantly, they go into being a follower of Jesus. And so today we're going to continue on. We're going to be in Daniel 6, if you got your Bibles today, if you want to go there. I'm going to kind of catch us up a little bit because last time we were in Daniel chapter 3. And so what happens throughout the rest of Daniel is this, is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego continue to grow in leadership. Daniel continues to be used by God. Along the way, he becomes very well known as a person who can interpret dreams, as a person that God speaks through. And so the kings begin to come to him and ask him for counsel. First with Nebuchadnezzar, and then eventually Nebuchadnezzar's son Belshazzar. If you know that story, Belshazzar has a moment where he's doing some things with the holy instruments from the temple that they had taken, and suddenly a hand starts writing on the wall. Maybe you've heard the phrase, the writing on the wall. This is where it comes from, this story. Daniel gets brought in. Daniel chapter 5 tells him, hey, listen, things aren't going to go well for you very, very soon. And it was true. This guy named Darius comes in, takes him out, and takes over. And now Daniel once again has a new king, a new boss. And once again, God gives him favor. And once again, he gets raised up and put in a high administrative position over all of the over what they called satraps. They were these sort of middle managers. And he becomes sort of an executive level manager over all of these people that are helping to rule the kingdom. And they don't like that very much, this foreigner being put into a new position. And so we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. It says that once this happened, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So they're looking for a way to get him out. They can't find a way in anything that he does morally, but they think, you know what? What if we do have it be something to do with his God? Because he's known as a man who loves God above all things. And so it continues on. These administrators and satraps went as a group to the king. And they said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. So they go to him and they say, "Listen, King, we got this idea. Let's just make this, you know, just 30 days. They had a lot of gods in that time. It would not be uncommon to have multiple gods in your home, multiple idols in your home. And so they go, "Listen, for everyone else, this is no big deal. For 30 days, not going to pray to any of these other gods. We're just going to pray to our king. We're going to lift up our king." That's obviously a big deal when you're a follower of God. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said, 'Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed.' So the king gave the order. They brought Daniel, threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' And Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." Now, for a majority of us that went to Sunday school, we've probably all heard this story, right? And if you haven't, I'm so glad you're here. But most of us have heard this, Daniel in the lion's den. And if you read it, it's a pretty simple story. Not a lot of extra detail is really given. It really gets to the point, which it's kind of nice, because some stories, they go, you know, all over the place. But really, it just gets right to the point. They try to get rid of Daniel. They go ahead. They get the king to kind of put in this decree that the king isn't really thinking will end this way. But suddenly it ends with Daniel being thrown into a lion's den. He comes back the next morning. The angel had come and rescued him. It's a great story. But there's another piece to this story, another piece to Daniel that I think is so important for us to understand today. It's what's going in between all these stories that we read in Daniel. Because what interesting thing about Daniel is it comes over years and years and years. In fact, we have had Daniel will serve under four different kings throughout the book of Daniel. Fact is, there is tons of years between a lot of these things going on. We have the moment of Nebuchadnezzar throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Elijah into, I think I messed that one up. Elijah, Moses, whoever, he threw them all in, throwing them into a furnace. And then all of a sudden, we get down the road and down the road and all throughout this. What we don't really see or what is implied is that there's things going on between the big stories. There's some things that are implied even in our text today that I think are important for us to understand. It's the space between the stories. See, all throughout Daniel, Daniel serves under four different kings. Darius was his third. He continues to be raised up to these positions over and over and over again. And God works through him over and over and over again. And there's a reason for it that I want to explore today. I think is super important to us as we seek to be a people who are resolved in our hearts not to be defiled by the world, but instead to stand out, to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to grow better this year. If you have goals this year, that I want to look more like Jesus this year. I want to be more surrendered this year. I want to love better this year. I want to forgive better this year. I want to grow in an area this year. This is a principle we see in Daniel that is so incredibly important. Because Daniel did not just show up on the scene the moment a big thing happens, the moment it's time to go to the lion's den. There was stuff happening before this moment, day after day after day after day. Something about Daniel that's so incredibly important that we're going to explore today is the fact that Daniel was consistent. Daniel was incredibly consistent. We see this over and over again throughout Daniel's life. And the fact is, consistency is one of the most important things in our life. If you look at life, if you look at people who have done great things, people who have achieved much, it's not one moment of passion. It's not one moment of great strength or great feat that often changes a life or leads to greatness. It's the consistent decisions day after day after day after day after day after day. I love the old quote that no one will understand the thousands and thousands of hours it takes to become an overnight success. Or maybe you've heard the one, you know, that winners do daily what others do occasionally. The reality is that consistency matters. If you want to grow in an area in your life, what you are doing consistently matters. It's even as a follower of Jesus, it's not just the moment where you go to the cross and you get on your knees and you cry out to God. That is an amazing moment when you surrender everything to Jesus. That's the start of something incredible. But it's the journey after that of consistently being a living sacrifice, consistently surrendering, consistently coming to God over and over and over again. It's the daily walk that leads to amazing change. And so this is what we see in Daniel's life. Daniel is consistent. First of all, he's consistent in his morals. He's consistent in his morals. It's really interesting. Three different kings have trusted him at this point. That's kind of incredible. You ever had three different bosses? Did all of them like you the exact same? Three different kings all see something in Daniel and go, I want that guy. All right, I'll trust that guy. It's interesting, when the other rulers tried to come and find something unscrupulous about Daniel, they couldn't find anything. It said before, they found nothing. Verse 5, finally they said, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. That's one thing I think is so interesting about Daniel. He was the same person every day. He wasn't hiding anything. They couldn't find anything to get him out of his position. He was consistent in his morals. Galatians chapter 6 tells us this. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul says, don't be mocked. God will not be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. If you reap towards your flesh, you will eventually reap destruction. If you sow towards following the Spirit, you're going to have life and life eternal. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. This past week, there was yet another well-known Christian author who, it turns out, has been making some decisions leading a lifestyle that is opposite of what he taught. And it's one of those moments where it just, as someone, especially when I have that person's books on my shelf, it just, it's a little scary. When there's someone out there who's preaching is well known, and first of all, it reminds us that we only put God on a pedestal, we don't put man. And too often we do that in the church. If a person falling and having a moment of infidelity, if that ruins your theology, man, that's always something to look back on and go, okay, why am I putting a man on that pedestal in the first place? Why am I putting a woman on that pedestal in the first place? Why am I putting anyone that's not God on that pedestal? My theology, my walk with Jesus hinges on Jesus. And that's a key. But it's interesting. When that happens, it reminds us that it's so easy to have people who look consistent, who talk the talk, who walk the walk, but then what they look like behind closed doors looks different. It's easy to write a book and make everyone think you're great when they're reading the book, but do they actually see the same thing if they come and live in your house? They follow you around every day. Are we the same person that we claim to be on Sunday that we are on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? The Bible says a person reaps what they sow. If you want to be the person who God calls you to be this year, you have to look at, what am I sowing? What's actually the fruit that's coming out of my life? Because what ends up happening is that there are people who haven't been sowing that. And what ends up happening is they look at their life and they go, well, I got to make my life look like the same as it is on Sunday. And that's not what we're saying. You don't have to be the same person on Sunday in the sense that you go, listen, I fake it on Sunday, so I better make sure I fake it on Monday too. No, the fact is, for me, I am the same sinner in need of grace on Monday that I am on Sunday. I'm the same person who needs to, in my flesh, surrender that and crucify my flesh every day and be a living sacrifice before God on Monday, just like I am on Sunday. The problem is, sometimes we think when we come on Sundays that we got to come and we got to look good and we got to make everyone think that we're something that we're not, when the reality is, I'm just as messed up on Monday as I am on Sunday. I just know the one who can fix my mess. I know the one who can restore me and through his Holy Spirit make me new each and every day. The reality is, I'm not called to be perfect. I'm called to serve the one who is perfect. But as I serve him, as I sow in my life and continue to sow to please the Spirit rather than trying to please my flesh. And the difference there between those two things is sowing to please my flesh means doing whatever makes me feel good. If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, the flesh, when it talks about that, it's those urges in you to make yourself feel better, look better. It's the natural things of this world. Sowing to please the Spirit is often the opposite of that. And so when I'm doing that, I become consistent in my morals. We see Daniel over and over again. He just keeps coming before God and serving and serving and serving. How does he do that? How does he keep being a servant in a foreign land and yet is completely blameless in how he handles things? Well, it's because he had a relationship with God that was incredible. In fact, he was very consistent in it. We go to verse 10, and it says, as soon as he hears what's going on, he goes just as he's always done, and he begins praying with his window open. Now, that's something we'll get to in a second. But it says, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So Daniel is so consistent that the only way that they can really find to trap him in anything is they know what he's going to do. They know he's going to go and pray. And you notice they did it specifically with prayer. They said, don't pray to anyone else. Why? Because they know Daniel's consistent. They know what he's going to do. He's going to go, he's going to open his window, and he's going to pray towards Jerusalem three times. Three times a day he's going to do this. And it's incredible to me. I mean, if we're being honest, a lot of us may have skipped a couple prayers for that day. Maybe on your commute you just do a quick prayer instead of opening your window for everyone to see. But yet Daniel continues. The question might be why? Because that's what powered Daniel's ministry. When we see Daniel able to interpret dreams and do amazing things, it comes from the fact that he was consistent in his prayer life. He was consistent in his relationship with God. That was something that you could almost run your clock by. He was consistent in his prayer life. He was consistent in his morals. Fact is, consistency in our prayer life is one of the most important things we can have. Talking to our God, relying on His power is one of the most important things we can have. If your goal for this year is to look more like Jesus, to serve Him better and look more like Him, let me encourage you. Looking at your prayer life and going, how consistent is my prayer life? How consistently am I bringing things to God? How consistently am I spending time with Him? Man, that's one of the most important habits you can have in your life. And finally, Daniel was consistent in his devotion. Once again, he hears about the decree, he goes, and immediately begins praying. There's no compromise there. There's no moment of, well, maybe I'll shut the window this time. No, he does it just like he's always done it. Why? Because Daniel's stupid? Because he really wanted to get eaten by lions? Or because at the end of the day, he feared God more than he feared man? If it was more important to him to spend time with God, and I'll trust him with it. Verse 21. Daniel answered the king and said, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, Your Majesty." Above all things, Daniel was devoted to God, to serving Him above all else, and he was consistent in it. Over and over and over again, he kept choosing God over man, God over man, God over man. And to be fair, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel should be dead by now. So many times Daniel has defied king's orders, and yet he keeps getting promoted. Why is that? Because God keeps blessing him. Because when you put God first, it doesn't really matter what man does to you. And oftentimes, supernaturally, God will begin to lift you up in the midst of that. One of the things that we see over and over again in Daniel is that he is consistent, 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 consistent. And the question I have for our life is this: what are we consistent in? What are you consistently doing in your life? See, the thing is, if you consistently eat bad food, you get what? Bad health. If you consistently watch junk on TV, watch junk on your phone, you end up having junk in your heart. If you consistently allow junk in your home, allow people into your home that don't serve God, you find yourself having junk in your life. If you consistently consume things that are pulling you away from Christ, then you will find that, wow, I'm far away from Christ. But at the same time, if you are consistently in God's word, if you are consistently around people who love God and love you, if you're consistently in prayer, if you are consistently seeking to serve God each and every day, if you're consistently growing, consistently getting accountability in your life, consistently having a Sabbath time in your life, you will start to see yourself drawing closer to God. And so the question is, what are you consistently doing in your life? What is the consistent habits that you're doing? I love talking about this in January because it just kind of correlates with our normal time of New Year's resolutions. And since most of us, if we start a New Year's resolution, statistically, we're done with it by now, here's some time for some new ones. So let's just restart. Forget about January 1st. This is the moment for your New Year's resolution. Or your goal for the year. I want to encourage you, make some goals this year. Make some decisions. Make some resolutions. in a big way, like maybe I'm going to serve God better in this big area. But then in that, what are you going to do to get there? Maybe it's, I'm going to read my Bible every single day this week. I'm going to listen to my Bible every single day this week using the Bible app. I'm going to have a time of prayer each and every day. I'm going to pray with my family at least 5 times this week, because there's going to be at least 2 times where those kids are screaming, they don't want to go to bed, and you totally forget about it. I've been there. I'm going to pray with my wife. I'm going to make this decision better. I'm going to get the accountability. I'm going to go to Celebrate Recovery. I'm going to get the help. I'm going to go to a Christian counselor at least once a month. Whatever it is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do consistently in your life? There's an old leadership quote that I love. It says that your processes in any organization or person are perfectly designed to give you the results that they're producing. Every process in your life is perfectly designed for the results that you're getting from it. You understand what that means? If you've got something going on, like a process in a business or in your life, and over again you don't like what's coming out of it, it's because that process has become perfectly tailored to produce what it is consistently producing, which means this. If I look at my life and I go, I don't like who I am. I don't like the man who I see in the mirror. I don't like the decisions that I'm making. Guess what? There are things that I'm doing that are perfectly designed to produce the fruit that's coming out of my life. Going back to Galatians, you reap what you sow. So I am sowing things in my life. If what is growing out of it, and what is coming out of my life, if the fruit of my life is stuff that I don't like, if I see anger, if I see hatred, if I see bitterness, if I see broken relationships, there's a chance that there's some things that I'm sowing into my life over and over again, and I'm reaping over and over and over again. And so this year, I want to invite you to make a decision. To make a decision, maybe in a big area or maybe in a small area, to continue to draw closer to Jesus, to continue to sow towards the Spirit. And so if you bow your heads with me today, I just want to talk to anyone in the room today who's never started a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, I just pray that as you're working on people's hearts today, I pray that you would work in a way that they've never seen before. There's someone here today that you're knocking on their heart. If you're inviting them to be in relationship with you today, God, I pray today is the day they step across the line. And that God, they would surrender everything to you right now. I pray that this is the day. God, for every member of our family here, God, as you're continuing to work in us and convict us, God, please make us aware of our inconsistencies. Make me aware of my inconsistencies. Show me where I need more consistency in my life, consistently seeking you, consistently having habits that glorify you, consistently serving you. I pray that we would be a people that continue to grow in that each and every day this year, God. Thank you, Lord, for how you're working, how you're moving, and everything that you're doing in your precious and holy name we pray. We are super excited today. I want to read for us really quick out of Romans chapter 6. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism and death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That is the promise. That is the goal of following Jesus. When we talk about consistency, it's not just about maybe looking a little bit better, looking a little bit more like Jesus, but instead, consistency is about the fact that we ultimately, that comes from a new life. Our consistency stems from something new being recreated in us. We have to become new first. And that newness comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as Paul writes here, that we are buried in baptism and raised to a new life in Christ. And we have two people that are going to be doing that today, stepping into that new life. And so we are just incredibly excited. Joshua, would you come up here, my friend? Luke, would you come up here, my friend? All right, guys, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay? Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. For salvation to come, we must confess that we've sinned and that we need a Savior. Do you guys confess that you guys have sinned and need a Savior?
Yes.
John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Do you acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and sent as your Savior? Awesome. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and will forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness and wickedness. Do you believe that God will forgive your sins and make you new? Yes. Romans 10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess Jesus as your Savior and your Lord today. Amen. And finally, Galatians 5 tells us to let go of our sinful nature and walk instead by God's Holy Spirit. Will you seek in your life to walk by God's Holy Spirit as you're able in your life? If so, say, we will. Okay. Are you guys ready to be baptized today?
Yes.
Awesome. Come on. Now, I remind us, a culture thing of our church, baptism is amazing, is it not? And so when we come out of the water, what are we doing? We're cheering. Did anybody bring their cowbells today? I say it every week. No one ever takes me up on it. All right. Let's do this.
All right, just say a prayer here for Luke. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our church can be a part of plundering Satan's house here, Lord. And also, Lord, we thank you for the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. Read that all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that all authority, Lord, has been granted to you on heaven and on earth. Help us to remember, Lord, that and that you're with us until the end of the age. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not the church standing up against the onslaught of hell, Lord, but it's the gates of hell that will never withstand the onslaught of the church, Lord. Help us as a church, Lord, to come alongside Luke and help him, Lord, our brother, to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
We're just going to pray over you real quick, Joshua. God, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for what your word says, that we are raised to life in this moment. And God, I pray that would be the same for Joshua today, that he would be walking in a new life filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. That even as a young man, he may not fully know what you're doing, but God, that as he looks back, he'll see exactly what you're doing, leading him and guiding him into a new life in Christ. Thank you for it. Thank you for his love for you. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Joshua, it's our honor today to baptize you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite our team to come up. We're going to sing one last song together. But as they come, I just am so thankful that we have a kids ministry. We have a youth ministry that continues to produce young men and young women who have a desire to follow Jesus in their life. And so one last time, I want to pray over them, but I also want to pray over you as a church for something specific here today. God, I thank you so much for Luke and Joshua, but every person that we baptize here in this church, every person that is baptized, God, our hope is exactly what was said on their shirts, that everything will be left in the water, that their old self, their old ways will be left in the water, Father, that they would no longer walk by their flesh, but they would walk by your Spirit. But also, God, I pray over our church, that you continue to raise up people who have a desire to see young men and women know you. That you continue to bless those, every person that serves in our kids ministry and our youth ministry, God, thank you for them, God. We're so incredibly thankful for everything that they do. God, would you continue to raise them up and continue to raise up more? God, would you continue as your Son told us to? We continue to beseech you that you would raise up workers for the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, God. We pray that more and more young men and women come to know you, God. Would you use our church to reach more and more people to know you, have a relationship with you, and walk in a new life with you, God. Continue to help us be that kind of church. In your precious name we pray. Amen.